Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a show that I remember watching as a child that started out pretty much the same way every time. There was this man that would walk through the door and he would be singing this song and he'd walk over to his closet and he'd take off his coat and put on his knit sweater and zip it up. Then he'd sit down and take off his dress shoes, put on those comfy sneakers with those white laces, and as he was lacing up those laces, he'd be singing that song. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Mr. Rogers, right? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And that's what came to my mind today as we hear about neighbors in our Bible readings. In the Old Testament, you may have noticed that the word neighbor was mentioned 5 different times. And in our New Testament, we hear about being a neighbor. Now, it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood when you have nice neighbors, isn't it? And when you have nice neighbors, when you have people that you like and people that are like you, it could be rather easy to be a good neighbor back to them. Now, at least on the show, Mr. Rogers appears to be a really friendly kind of guy. And I imagine that if he asked you to be his neighbor, you'd say, sure, of course. Some of you maybe not, but that's another story for another time. But Mr. Rogers, at least on the show, is a really nice fellow, and he'd make a good neighbor. And when you have neighbors that you like, or when you have neighbors that are like you, it seems to be fairly easy to show love and compassion to them as your neighbor. But what about when it's not such a beautiful day in the neighborhood? Back in college, I didn't get to pick my neighbors. In the dormitories, I was in the football dorm, and no, nothing against football players at all. However, these young punks were rather loud. And at 2 in the morning, when I'm trying to sleep, I'm trying to get my money's worth, get my education, you know what, they're out partying in the hallways, being loud. My neighbors, I could hear them through the walls shouting in their music, boom, boom, boom. And for me, trying to sleep, I was not a very happy camper. And do you think I felt like being a good neighbor to these people? No, not at all. It was not a beautiful day in the neighborhood or a night in the neighborhood. And frankly, I did not necessarily feel like being a nice neighbor to them. Maybe you can relate a little bit, whether you've been in college and you've had some interesting dorm experiences, or maybe in your own neighborhoods. Or people that you encounter, some people say, oh, of course, I'd love to help them. I'd love to be their neighbor. Other people say, absolutely not. Sometimes we don't get a chance to pick our neighbors. And Jesus, in this lesson, in some ways redefines what neighbor might be. Jesus doesn't talk about the times when it's just a beautiful day in the neighborhood. But he redefines what a neighbor is. And he's speaking to a lawyer, this lawyer who would have liked to reach out to the people whom he liked and who were like him. But Jesus was going to give him a story that might cause him to do some thinking about being a neighbor. The context for this is a lawyer comes to Jesus to question him. Now, we're not talking about the type of lawyer that you find on those courtroom shows. We're talking about a lawyer, someone who was an expert in the law, in the biblical law. This person knew their scriptures really, really well and could tell you all the nitty-gritty little details about the law. And as happened in various times, people came to Jesus to question him, to try to trap him. And this lawyer came and asked Jesus a question. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus isn't going to take the bait, and Jesus switches things around and actually begins to question the lawyer. And Jesus says to him, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now, what's going on here? Well, what was happening is the lawyer was giving the summary of the law, and he did a wonderful job. We see that this lawyer does know his stuff. He does know the law really well, and he basically gives a summary of what we call the two tables of the law. We have the love of the Lord your God with all your heart. We have the vertical relationship between God and his people, which the man summarizes using Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Then he looks at the horizontal relationship, the relationship between me and you, the relationship between our fellow people. And here we find a summary of that in Leviticus 19, verse 18, the last verse of our Old Testament reading for today, which says this, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we look at the Ten Commandments, we see the first three commandments having to do with our relationship with God, and then commandments 4 through 10 dealing with the horizontal relationship. This lawyer nailed it. He had the perfect answer in his mind. Cognitively speaking, he knew the correct response. So Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. It's one thing to give the correct answer, to know in your mind what is necessary, what is good, what is true. It's a whole nother thing to live out that answer. And Jesus was going to call out this lawyer who was feeling rather self-righteous. He was going to point out that perhaps this lawyer knew things cognitively, but doing what he said was a whole nother matter. We see that this lawyer wants to justify himself. He wants to show himself to be righteous, as he answers Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 29. But he, that is the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, and who is my neighbor? Perhaps he was expecting Jesus to give some kind of response so that the lawyer could then say, well, of course, I've been a great neighbor to this person that you just mentioned. But Jesus gave him a little bit of a different answer in the form of that story, which we commonly know as the Good Samaritan. You know, it's one thing to consider ourselves to be good and nice neighbors as long as we can define that upon our own terms. Well, of course I'm a good neighbor. I'm nice to this person and that person and that person. Yeah, I'm a pretty good neighbor. Well, it's one thing to be a good neighbor to those whom we like and those who are like us, but it's a different story when we come across people that we don't like and who are not like us. So, Jesus gives this parable to this man. Jesus replied, this is verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, here's a story that grabs your attention right away. And if you know the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, it would really have your attention. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was about a 17-mile stretch. Very, very, very windy roads with a 3,000-feet drop in elevation going down those 17 miles. Along the way, there are caves and crevices, places for robbers to hide. And in fact, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho had a nickname. It was later nicknamed the Bloody Way because of the problems and situations that would arise along that road. So here's a man. He's on the Bloody Way heading over to Jericho, and guess what? He does get attacked by robbers. These aren't just people that grab his wallet, but they grab his wallet, they strip him of his clothes, they beat him up, and they leave him half dead lying on the road. Got your attention. Yep. So Jesus continues, and he speaks. And he talks about people that come. Luke chapter 10, in verse 31, now by chance a priest was going down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So Jesus is speaking of people that are associated with religion or with the church. A priest, one who is to carry out the sacrifices on behalf of the people, one who is there in the presence of the Lord, one who knows the scriptures, and a Levite, one who is of the lineage of the tribe that was to carry out the sacred duties for the people of Israel, people that knew the scriptures, people that were religious, people that were supposed to be serving the Lord. And what happens? They pass him by. Jesus had said of some of the religious leaders in Mark chapter 7, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" For here we have some church people that leave the man half dead on the side of the road. I wonder what was going through the lawyer's mind as he was hearing this story and hearing about these church people that passed the half-dead man on the side of the road. I heard an interesting a quote that was given by someone from the perspective of someone who needs help, from someone who is in need. Listen to this. Imagine the man on the side of the road saying these words. "I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club and discussed my hunger. I was imprisoned, and you crept off quietly to your chapel and prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so holy, so close to God, but I am still very hungry, lonely, and cold." It's rather convicting, isn't it? Well, it was going to get worse, for Jesus continued, and he told about the third person, a third person that actually did something. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Now, I wonder what the lawyer's reaction was when he heard Jesus utter the word Samaritan. The word Samaritan would be a word that you might spit upon after you heard it. In the Jewish synagogues, the Samaritans were cursed that they might not inherit eternal life. It was used as an epithet. If you wanted to insult someone, you'd call them a demon-possessed Samaritan. That was bad. Think of your modern equivalents. That was bad, calling someone a demon-possessed Samaritan, which in fact Jesus was called in John chapter 8, 48, where the Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Samaritans were despised. You see, what happened is when the northern kingdom was invaded by Assyria, what happened was the Assyrians deported some of the Jews and put them in another region, and foreigners were brought into the northern kingdom. So then the Jews intermarried with the others, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and pretty soon you had quote-unquote half-breeds who were despised then by the Jewish population. They were considered to be as dogs or pretty much as good as Gentiles. So here is a Samaritan, one who normally would not also associate with the Jew. And what is he doing? He's reaching out and he's showing incredible compassion. Unexpected, right? Kind of like what we heard about in the news recently. Maybe some of you heard about the prisoners in the jail in Texas. And the prisoners noticed that the prison guard had slumped over. It looked like a heart attack. And the prisoners busted out of their holding cell, and they were shouting and making noise, and they thought, oh boy, we got a riot on our hands. But no, actually, they were trying to save the prison guard. And actually, due to their help, the prison guard was saved. Prisoners helping to save their prison guard. Unexpected. So this man would have been caught off guard and perhaps a bit disgusted to think that a Samaritan would actually come and help the man. Luke chapter 10, 34. "He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" giving him oil and wine to help soothe the skin and serve as an antiseptic, taking him upon his animal, probably having to hug him, to pull him up onto the donkey, perhaps taking some of his own clothes and ripping them off to cover the wounds, taking him to an inn, spending his own money, not just for a couple nights, but saying, okay, look, if this guy needs any more things, put it on my tab. The Samaritan here is showing lavish, lavish love upon this man. Now, for you and me, we don't really have this cultural understanding too much of what it's like to have the differences between the Jews and the Samaritans. That's really kind of hard for us to relate to. But if you go on YouTube, you can find some very interesting modern adaptations of the Good Samaritan. And I found a couple which were really rather interesting. One of them, there was a man who was beat up and left on the side of the road along the concrete pathway. And you have some nice church-looking people there. I think it's a pastor, and he's got his suit on, and he's got his cell phone, and he glances over at the man, and he keeps on walking by. You got a bunch of nice-dressed people that also pass on by. The man is left there. Then all of a sudden, you see in the distance this guy, this scruffy-looking fellow, boom, 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 on this Harley, and he rides up, and he stops, and he looks over. He walks towards the man, and the man is cowering in fear as he sees this biker, expecting the biker to come and beat him up. But no, the biker looks down, helps him with his wounds, picks him up, puts him on his Harley, and takes him there to the hospital and makes sure he's okay. I think some of the hospital staff were a bit suspicious of this man, but this biker had compassion upon this guy. Another one that really caught my attention was, again, similar scenario. You got the guy on the side of the road, some nice people pass by, and then in the background you see this man, who he's a taxi driver, and he's of Middle Eastern descent, and he's reading a newspaper with Arab characters. He's kind of watching. Nobody does anything, and so he comes over to the man, and he takes him in his taxi cab over to the hospital. There's a security guard at the hospital who eyes the Arab man with much suspicion, looking at him, eyeing him. But the man sits there and waits until the beat-up man is able to come out of the hospital. And then at the end of the video, you see the man who was beat up giving that hug to the Arab man from the Middle East who had shown him so much love and so much compassion. Maybe for us, that's a better picture, the biker or somebody from the Middle East who showed compassion. So Jesus tells this story, and then he brings it back home. He looks at the guy, the lawyer, and he says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Perhaps the man didn't want to actually even say the word Samaritan. So he says, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Jesus was not advocating that this man be a neighbor just to the people that he liked or people that were like him, but Jesus was redefining what neighbor looked like. Jesus is the one who said in Matthew chapter 5:43, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you." Now, what was Jesus' point in this parable? Now, on the one hand, we might say, well, it's a good example, right? It's a good example to show love to a neighbor, and sure, absolutely. But I think part of Jesus' point was to convict the man, to show him that he did not measure up to the law. He might have thought himself to be self-righteous, at least according to his definitions, to be a good neighbor. And Jesus is pointing out, look, buddy, you have failed miserably. You, in and of your own strength, do not possess the capacity to show true and perfect love to your neighbor. And as we look at the scriptures, perhaps it's convicting to us. As we think of those times when we have not shown love to our neighbors, to those people that maybe we don't like that much, and maybe who aren't like us. But that's where we look to Jesus. We look to our Savior Jesus, who had compassion upon us, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and yet Jesus had compassion upon you and upon me as he served as the perfect neighbor for you and for me, as he went the extra mile and went to the cross, allowing himself to be beat up and to experience shame for you, so that you would not have to experience the punishment that he experienced. It is Jesus who has washed your wounds in your baptism, who nourishes you, who feeds you, who takes care of you. As it says in Psalm 147 about our God, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This is what Jesus, your good neighbor, has done for you. And as we've been going through Galatians, we finished that series up, we realize that it is in Christ then that we then can show love to others. Not in our own strength, but in his strength. As we hear in Galatians chapter 5, 22, about the fruit of the Spirit. This is fruit that the Holy Spirit is producing in you, allowing you to not only show love to those who are like you and whom you like, but also to show love to those who you don't like and who are not like you. This in the strength of your Lord Jesus. So who is your neighbor? Perhaps someone comes to your mind, someone who needs love and compassion, someone whom God might call you to reach out to with his love and his compassion, including people that might be difficult for us to love. As Mr. Rogers finishes up his show, he goes over to the closet again. He takes off his knit sweater and he puts on his coat as he gets ready to go out the door. He takes off the sneakers and he puts back on the dress shoes, and then he waves goodbye to his television audience as he heads out the door back into the neighborhood. We have an opportunity to be fed and nourished by our Lord in this place, with then the opportunity to head back out into the neighborhood. As the sign has recently been put up, there's a sign as you exit our facility which says, "You are now entering the mission field." As we hear about in the news with some of the racial tensions and the various circumstances going on, there are people in this world who could use a good neighbor. In the strength and in the love of Christ, won't you be their neighbor? Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.